The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I thought I'd start this evening with kind of a follow-on reflection from the meditation. I started by the meditation by pointing out that we're exploring opening to the experience of being human. And I just wanted to reflect a little bit on the perspective, one of the perspectives, perhaps we could say, that makes mindfulness wise mindfulness. Mindfulness itself, in the suttas at least, is described as a kind of a neutral quality. It is talked about as being both that it can be, there can be right mindfulness and wrong mindfulness. For instance, you know, wrong mindfulness might be the very clear moment-to-moment awareness of a thief going through a house trying to steal things, that they're very aware of what they're doing, but the purpose or the aim behind that awareness is not to be curious about what is it like to take a step, but has the aim or the purpose of greed or potentially aversion if there's anger in their mind as they're stealing. So the one of the perspectives that we could say that makes mindfulness be wise mindfulness is a perspective of curiosity about the experience of our human being the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddhist teaching on mindfulness, says one observes or contemplates, one contemplates the body as a body, feelings as feelings, mind states as mind states. And this is pointing to that perspective of what is it. So if the experience of the body is happening, it's like, oh, this is the experience of a body. This is the experience of a human body, this vibration or this tingling or this pulsing. This is an experience of the human body. A feeling arising, frustration arising, or confusion arising. This is the feeling. This is what it's like to be a human being that's feeling confusion. This is what it's like to be a human being that's feeling frustration. And so it's kind of taking the personal out of the picture with the awareness of our experience. And so this is perhaps we could say the view or one of the views that we bring to our practice is curiosity about experience as human experience. And we're really essentially we're exploring learning about the nature of our human experience, in particular in terms of what leads to suffering and what leads away from suffering. What is suffering too? The question of what is suffering. And we begin to discover that unpleasant experience isn't actually necessarily suffering. It's what our minds are doing with that unpleasant experience that makes it suffering. And so it's the mental reactivity that makes experience suffering. And so we learn through looking at our experience as human experience, instead of from the lens of how can I get rid of this unpleasant experience or how can I get more of this pleasant experience, instead of from that perspective, the kind of the view embedded in greed or aversion of wanting to get more of or get rid of things, but instead of, well, what is this experience? What is the experience of frustration? What is the experience of confusion? And that perspective helps us to learn something about what leads to suffering and what leads away from suffering. And so we could look at the exploration of mindfulness as being essentially an education about what being human is and what the human experience is that leads toward suffering and what leads toward away from suffering. And so this kind of like curiosity around learning about who we are, what we are. And we could say this is in many ways, we could look at that as a wisdom perspective. We're exploring what is the experience, and how do certain experience condition the tension and the tightness of the craving and the clinging, and what experiences condition the openness and the connectivity and the expansive quality of the wholesome qualities. But when we experience this perspective, in my own exploration of the practice, this perspective of wisdom in being with experience, this curiosity about, well, what is it like to be a human being? That is actually one of the most kind things that we can do for ourselves. This curiosity about what is this human being like? I mean, it's like if you had a friend who really wanted to get to know you, who are you? What do you, what, how do you tick? What's going on in there? It would feel like they really cared about you. That sense of connection, of intimacy, of getting to know someone. That's kind of what we're doing for ourselves. And it is an expression of metta, of love, and of compassion. And so the perspective of wisdom is intimately connected with the perspective of kindness and compassion in this practice. So it is, that was mostly what I wanted to reflect on, just that connection of wisdom and love. There were a couple of questions that were submitted. I do have this link online that in the item on the calendar on the IMC website, there's a little link there if you want to submit a question online, if you don't want to ask a question. But I thought I would start and just see if there's any comments or questions before I get to the questions that there were two that were submitted today. So if there's any comments or questions just in the group. And you're welcome to raise your hand and unmute yourself, or if you don't feel comfortable doing that because I am recording, you could type a question into the chat box. So no questions in the room. Okay. So the one of the questions that was submitted is, it's not exactly a question, but it is a reflection and a request for a perspective, I could say. I feel the practice has helped me a lot, but still at times find myself in social situations where significant anxiety is present. While I do my best to allow whatever is present and just stay mindful of it, I can't help feeling there's a part of me that feels I should be more settled than that now, and that somehow the level of anxiety I do experience at times, especially those times I deem it much too high for the situation, is somehow wrong. And that sense is probably making things worse. I'm not sure what my question is here, but I would appreciate your perspective. So I hear like two aspects to this. One is the question of how to work with anxiety, but perhaps the bigger question, or the first question, is how come it's not going away, or how come it's not after this time, the practice has helped me a lot, but this situation, it doesn't seem to be helping me, or it's not helping me as much as I think it should be helping me, or something along those lines. So I'll start with that, because that, I think that happens for a lot of us. that we have some idea or some sense of maybe we've seen a couple times that being aware of a difficult emotion, a habitual emotion, and this is true not just for anxiety, it's true for any kind of habit or pattern that we have in our lives. You know, we've all been conditioned with various familiar mental reactivities. For me, anger was a big one. I would really, that was one of my go-to emotions. So we all have these things that have been deeply conditioned in our lives. We can actually probably remember or look back into our history and recognize that this has been something perhaps we've even learned from our families or, you know, it's been conditioned. It's not an accident. It's not an accident that we're feeling what we're feeling because it has been conditioned. And often we can recognize these patterns, these familiar patterns, as being connected to old conditioning. And this is sometimes why, you know, when we experience something as being like as we become more and more mindful, we begin to see, wow, the actual situation that's happening, it's not so much, but wow, I'm feeling all of this anxiety or all of this reactivity that seems way out of proportion to the situation. So first of all, this is part of mindfulness helping you to see the situation a little more clearly. My guess is before being, you know, practicing, and certainly for myself, before I really got into the practice, you know, I just kind of felt like my anger was justified, and no matter what, I didn't really look at the situation and the different, you know, and see that some of the anger that was coming up was being pulled up from history. And that often is what's happening when we feel like we're overreacting to a situation. It's not that it's not necessarily that the emotion is connected with the situation, but it's like the situation has so many resonances, perhaps, with situations from the past, that those situations from the past are kind of entering into the present moment through thoughts, through memories, and those thoughts and memories are kind of having that emotional response reverberate a little more strongly. This is just, you know, this is just my language for it. The Buddha used the language, whatever we frequently ponder, that becomes the inclination of the mind. And so when we have frequently engaged in a particular conditioned pattern or habit, it's like you get even close to that and that pattern tends to come up. So it's not surprising. I mean, first of all, you know, that you start to see that the mind is overreacting. So partly just kind of appreciate, oh, the mind is actually noticing this. The mind is noticing that there's more reactivity than seems appropriate for the situation. Instead of judging that I shouldn't be having this reaction because you are having the reaction, you know, that just kind of appreciate that this is what mindfulness is seeing. This is what mindfulness is noticing. There's another piece here that kind of went in and out of my mind. Sometimes this happens. mine just stops. Well, I'll come in from a different direction. So partly, I would say that, you know, that the idea that I should be less reactive now. That's a kind of an agenda of meditation that is affecting. So it's a view, it's an idea, it's a belief. I should be less reactive now. And you know, views are really powerful in terms of how they affect our experience. So the a useful exploration, so noticing, first of all, that that view is there, that it is a view. Believing that view, or first of all, not seeing the view. So I'm happy to hear that you know, in this example, there's a sense that there is a belief. So there's the recognition of that. So there is a belief that it should be gone by now, or I should be not experiencing this as much as I am right now. So there that awareness of that view is there, but there's still a belief in the view, and it's not quite being recognized as such. And so that's a useful thing to notice. This is a piece of the human experience. We believe our thoughts. We believe these underlying perspectives. This is what should be happening. This is what shouldn't be happening. And sometimes in seeing those beliefs, we think we should be able to stop believing them. Like we've been told, yes, it's fine to be experiencing these things. This is usual. This is normal. This is natural. And so we think we should be able to stop believing that thought. That is, I think, again, the mindfulness of this is a belief that's happening right now. This is the belief that is arising. I think it should be gone by now. That is what's being believed. Not trying to stop that belief, but instead recognizing that too is just what this human experience, this is the human experience that's arising right now. That belief is happening. So that exploration around beliefs, this is an important aspect. I would say pretty much any suffering that we're experiencing, the anxiety that's being experienced in the social situation in this example, there's a belief underlying that. The suffering around the fact that we think it should be gone by now, that's a belief that's underlying that suffering. And so a kind of a curiosity or an exploration around what is being believed is a kind of a useful kind of question. When we're able to be mindful in a situation, sometimes we can drop that question in or be curious, what is being believed right now? And then as beliefs become apparent, like in this case, the belief around I shouldn't be having this, experience. I shouldn't be feeling this anxious right now. As that becomes apparent, then becoming aware of the belief, kind of then tuning into how much it's being believed. Rather than telling myself I shouldn't be believing that, because it's those beliefs are actually really deeply conditioned too. Sometimes even more than the emotional responses to those beliefs. The beliefs come into our system through conditioning. It's like many of our beliefs, we're not even aware are beliefs. We just take them to be true. We just take that to be the way it is. And so the recollection or the reflection, oh, this is a belief right now. And it's being believed. Sometimes when we see a belief, we might recognize, gee, I don't actually believe that. Rationally, I don't believe that. But at a very deep inner level, I do believe it. And that's an important thing to recognize, that sometimes our rational mind can know something, that a belief is silly or pointless or ancient, you know, and that it's connected with ancient history and not relevant right now. But that rational part of the mind doesn't necessarily get to communicate with that deeper underlying conditioned emotional kind of connection to that belief. And so the holding or the being aware, wow, I don't even believe that, but there it is. That's what's happening right now. This is allowing mindfulness to be the container in which the learning happens. So to come back to that, what I said at the beginning, that really the perspective of mindfulness is to be curious about our experience, to be curious about what it's like to be a human being. In this case, being curious about what it's like to be a human being that's believing this shouldn't be happening. This is what is happening right now. The learning that happens as we are willing to hold it in a container, allow the awareness of it to inform us. So it's kind of like, sometimes I use the analogy of learning is like being a naturalist. You know, you go out into nature to learn. And the way a naturalist goes out into nature to learn is to go and sit in the forest, sit wherever, sit on the beach, wherever you are, to learn what's there. And then you just observe what's around you. You observe this particular tree and the creatures that come to that tree, and which creature, over the course of a long stretch of time, you start seeing the different life cycle of the tree and the way the animals interact with that, with the different life cycles of the tree, the food they get at certain times of year, the shelter they get at other times of year. There's this recognition just through sitting there and witnessing and being curious, what is the nature of this environment? And not having an agenda about anything but the learning happens. And likewise, it's like that kind of with the mindfulness, that we are nature. And so we're kind of being a naturalist with our experience. We hold our experience in this container of being a naturalist and watch, learn, witness what happens. Some of what we learn and witness is the way in which our old conditioning influences the present moment. Some of what we learn is the way certain patterns of emotions lead to constriction and pain in the present moment. Reactivity, certain kinds of reactivity lead to pain in the present moment. And that is suffering. And that learning, or that recognition of, for instance, for myself, recognizing at some point pretty early in my practice, as I began to be curious about anger, what is the experience? What's the human experience of anger? Instead of just charging with the anger and justifying the actions that I was doing based on that anger, I was shocked to discover, wow, this is painful. This anger hurts. It's like, duh. But I had been so engaged in acting out of that anger that I had missed that bit of information. And so the mindfulness really kind of allows our system to get a different kind of education about what we're experiencing. And so a patience with that, a holding whatever is arising, the anxiety in this case from this question, holding that anxiety and being curious about, well, what can be learned about that? It's arising. It's arising because of conditions. So what be a naturalist with that, and be a naturalist with the belief that this should be gone by now. That's just another condition and another arising. So that's probably enough that with that. I'm just curious if there's any follow on. Somebody wrote something in the chat. Let me check that out. So yeah, I'll read this. I have a lot of anxiety and have had a hard time holding it with mindfulness. The anxiety can get so big, I don't even know what to do other than hold steady with my awareness. Do you have any ideas on how to hold large power emotions in mindfulness? Yeah, I'll speak to this. This is a great question to follow on. Some emotions can get very big, and certainly, anxiety in particular, anxiety tends to be an emotion that's connected with the unknown. It's connected with uncertainty, and that has a lot of can have a lot of other resonances associated with it, of not having safety, of being very vulnerable. So anxiety can get very big, You know, one thing, sometimes there's a number, a couple pieces here. Sometimes with anxiety, with any emotion, for instance, we can have a particular way or habit around how we bring mindfulness to experience. We may kind of try to put it under a microscope or try to hold it or find a container in which that is happening, and it's like it's almost like we're holding it or seeing it within this container of the body, and trying to look at it as a thing, and that perspective of observing or looking at sometimes can almost be like a pressure cooker. It's kind of like with the anxiety. The anxiety is a very diffuse and broad kind of experience. It's hard to pinpoint. It's hard to say, oh, this is exactly where I'm feeling the anxiety. We might notice there are certain sensations like in the stomach area or in the throat. And if we zoom in on those sensations, sometimes that can create a feeling, a little bit of a pressure cooker that, you know, we're trying to look at this thing and it feels bigger than that. So sometimes it can be useful to have a sense of not even thinking of the anxiety as contained within the body. It's like, even let the anxiety get as big as the room you're in, like holding and allowing the awareness, the mindfulness to be as big as the room. So it can kind of be like the question mentioned, holding big emotions. Sometimes we can hold big emotions by letting our awareness get really big. It's like, don't try to be real precise about the experience of the awareness. Just let it get big. And sometimes it's like the energy, and anxiety can have quite a bit of energy sometimes. It's like if we're looking at the experience with a kind of a trying to see it in this container, in this spot, it almost like compresses the energy into a very small space, and it feels really hard to hold. But if you let the container get really big, it can feel much more spacious. So that's one thing to explore. But sometimes I'll say certain emotions have a lot of historical patterns, conditions, things that kind of, that are resonating from history. And so sometimes it can be hard to be mindful of it because we kind of get hooked by the stories. We get hooked by the old history, or we get caught into the pattern itself. And so it's like it feels like a whirlpool or a rabbit hole that is whenever we try to bring our mindfulness to that emotion. Although I would encourage this different exploration, perhaps, because perhaps it is that, you know, bringing the mindfulness in a kind of a focused way makes it feel like you're going to get lost in that difficulty, in that anxiety. Maybe the broader approach and not trying to be so precise about the experience, which is like, yeah, wow, anxiety feels like this. It's, wow, it's chaotic. It's messy. It's big. It's a mess. You know, just taking it in that big way without trying to get much precision around it. But sometimes even that can create the conditions for, like, if the mindfulness isn't quite strong enough to meet it, then we can get like sucked into the emotion. And it's useful to learn the warning signs of getting sucked into the rabbit hole, I'd say. And if you feel like the mindfulness is getting drowned or overwhelmed, if it feels overwhelming, then it's really useful not to try to be mindful of it at that point. That essentially the power of the anxiety in that moment is stronger than the strength of the mindfulness. And it's the anxiety may be overwhelming the mindfulness. If that's the case, and what I'd say generally is, if you can be with the experience, And that's another useful language. You know, maybe you can be with anxiety as opposed to trying to look at it or be mindful of it. Maybe you can just be with it. Kind of like you might be with a kid that's screaming and yelling in the room, just holding the space for the kid. It's like, okay, yeah, I can sit here. I can't do much else right now because of this major thing that's happening, but maybe I can just sit here with this. If you can sit there with it without it getting worse, then there is some learning happening. There is some kind of, and maybe what the learning is, wow, this is really hard. This is painful. This is suffering. If you can hold it, be with it in that broad way without it getting worse, even if it doesn't feel like it's getting better. I mean, that's not necessarily the criteria by which we recognize learning is happening. It doesn't have to get better. It doesn't have to go away. It can, if we can hang out with it and be with it and it's not getting worse, then there is some learning that's happening. At a certain point with that, then you may kind of find yourself getting a little tired or almost like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I've been with this for a little while. Then it may be time to kind of step aside from it. But if you do feel like you're going to get drowned or pulled in, swamped by the emotion, then find something else to turn to. Let yourself pick some other experience to be aware of. Something simple, something perhaps neutral that you can ground your attention with. Now you might, if you use the breath in meditation, you might think that the breath would be a good place, but an emotion like anxiety is often experienced in the this area where we feel the breath. And so turning to the breath, if anxiety is strong, it may just loop you right back to the anxiety because the sensations in the area that you're paying attention to in the area of the breath are going to remind you of the anxiety. And so it's useful, I find it useful to have some go-to experience. For me, when anger arose frequently, I just put my attention in my feet. You know, it's like, I was often walking when it would happen. I would just put my attention in my feet. It was pretty neutral. It was pretty obvious. It was pretty easy to connect to. So it's useful to have some kind of practice or experience that is a kind of a almost a safe place or a resource or a place where you can land if it feels like the mind is getting overwhelmed by a particular emotion or experience. So now it's time to stop. Thank you for coming and participating. And I'm going to unmute everybody so we can say goodbye. Okay.